Whoa.
I know you like covering this.
They might not be able to hear me back then.
Well, first of all, my friends and my dad said, you know, if you get in front of the prophet, he's got so much power, you're just going to melt. There won't be anything left of you but a sack of rubble. And I said, oh yeah, well, we'll see about that. So why we went was we felt like we were wrongly excommunicated, which of course we were. And so we get there and they've got the scriptures out and on the tables, these great big thick ones. And we hadn't brought any scriptures with us. I said, can I borrow your scriptures there for a minute? Whoa, I don't know. Should we let him touch them? And I said, well, let me see these scriptures for a minute. First of all, we want to have a retrial. Well, we don't do that anymore. Oh, well, why not? Well, the church has just done away with it. I said, well, let's look over here in section, I think it was 132, where it says that we could appeal and have a new trial as if no former decision had been made. I said, now, are you going to honor this scripture or not? And they said, no, we don't do that anymore. We've done away with that. It's a waste of time. We've got 12 apostles and they're all traveling around. And then Joe and I said, well, yeah, but you're supposed to have two quorums of 12. A traveling high council and a standing high council. And the standing high council is supposed to try in the courts those trials of a more confusing nature.
The appeal goes to the standing high council.
Yeah. So the standing high council was supposed to be able to try those of a more, what's the word, nature?
Serious nature?
Serious nature, yeah. Thank you, Rain. And I said, well, let's look over here in section 29. This is 29 or 40, I can't remember which one it was now. It says, you should follow these scriptures as they were written, or you shall be damned to hell. And I said, well, now you're not following these scriptures. Now, what does it say is going to happen to you? Well, they turned red. They turned red. Well, they had Joe. He's got the writings, and I've got the scriptures, and together we're a formidable duo. And I said, well, you know what? If you don't repent and give us a retrial according to the former pattern, as though no such decision has been made because we're requesting one, you guys are going to go straight to hell. Said that, didn't we say? Did we say that, Joe?
Something like that.
And then Marky Peterson says, "Well, I think this little meeting is over." That was the end of that. But we got our remarks in, and then we went down, and we just felt impressed to dust our feet, wipe our feet against these guys, because that's what the scriptures say if they. You know, if they're non-compliant to the Word of God and they went against it, so we dusted our feet. And at that moment when we did that, we had an endowment of power. We felt the Spirit come over. It's like we had done the right thing.
Could you go into what dusting of your feet is?
Yeah, when we left, when Curtis damned him to hell, I remember just a little bit different. We were talking about the gathering. They were commanding, challenging us to bring forth scriptures. So we brought forth scriptures, and then I brought forth several, and then Curtis brings forth several, and then they say, "Well, we know those scriptures. Now give us a scripture that tells us what you're saying here." And Curtis, that's when Curtis says, "Well, I'll tell you what." He says, "If you don't believe these things, you're going to go to hell." It went something like that.
Well, and we said, isn't that when he said, "Well, you can forget Joseph Smith"?
Yeah, he also said that. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, we gave him the scriptures, and we said, now, do you believe in the word of Joseph Smith or not? Yes or no? A simple yes or no will suffice. Do you want to follow these scriptures? Yes or no? They're, you know, written by Joseph Smith. And they said, well, you can forget those scriptures, and you can forget Joseph Smith. We have a living prophet today, and that's all you need to know.
What year was this when you dusted your feet?
77.
79, 80, something like that. Yeah. We're excommunicated in 79, and it was about several months after our excommunication. But yeah, then they said this meeting was over. They stood up and said this meeting was over when we pretty much had checkmated them. So we left, and as we were walking out the church office building, Curtis says, well, I guess that's pretty much all we can do. And I said, no, there's one more thing we can do. So the scripture says if they reject you, to go dust your feet off on them, and then it will put them in the hands of the Lord. And so we decided to go do that. So we went behind the large church office building, beyond some bushes there, and both of us took off our shoes and we dusted them off in the name of the Lord.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You just kicked off your shoes and your socks and you dust your feet?
Yeah, we just shook them off in the name of the Lord. And when we did that, the spiritual fire came down, similar to what these three ladies felt. And Curtis and I looked at each other, and I knew what he was thinking. We were thinking like, boy, we wouldn't want to be in their shoes.
No, and they weren't on this planet that much longer either.
Yeah. Now, Curtis, after his visit to the prophet, previous to this, he had that brain aneurysm 3 days after Curtis's visit, and he refused to see him. We made an appointment and verified the appointment, and Curtis goes down there, and
he wouldn't let us in.
There was another couple they had put in the place of Curtis, and Curtis was upset, and he was near the concierge guy there that was taking the appointments, and he just received a phone call that this couple that had replaced Curtis canceled. So Curtis said, he heard the dialogue. So he says, well, you know, Spencer W. Kimball doesn't have anybody to see, so he's free, so tell him that I am here. And so he phoned up to Kimball and asked him, and Kimball replied back, said, no, we've already reviewed all the details of his excommunication, and I approve of it. And that's all that we have to say. And then 3 days later, he had an aneurysm, and he was never able to speak again for the rest of his life. And then we saw these guys, and then we had this experience, and we wondered, boy, if that happened to Kimball, what's going to happen to these guys? And we waited till the next church conference, and the only thing unusual was that Bruce R. McConkie gave a strong testimony about Joseph Smith. But to us, he told us, forget Joseph Smith. All you need to know is that there's a living prophet. But for some reason, he felt really motivated to really emphasize his testimony of Joseph Smith. We thought, well, that was odd, but, you know, lightning didn't strike him or anything. So, and then the next conference, it was the same. And a year had passed, and I thought, well, we expected something to happen to these guys. But then after a year, I read in the back page of the church news that both McConkie and Peterson had developed cancer a year back, which would have been right after our visit, and they had a tremendous struggle and were in a lot of pain for the whole year, and now they were at the end of their lives. And so that kind of verified that I guess something did happen to the guys. And at that time, I thought it would be nice if Curtis and I could have visited these guys and see if they'd kind of changed their minds.
What would you have said?
About our message. What'd you say?
What would you have said? See, I told you.
No, we wouldn't have said that.
Don't
we would have said...
admit the error of their ways.
Did you get a feeling, a presence after our visit? Did something come to you? Because that's what I felt like, is that they had something happen to them that entered their consciousness after our visit. Did you kind of feel that too, Curtis?
Yeah. What I felt was... we left an impression that they would never forget. And there weren't many people that had confronted them the way we did.
Yeah, I felt that we were the first ones to really talk to them in that way.
That, we just stood up to them, you know.
Members that are excommunicated, they're rebel type, a lot of them still cower in the presence of the authorities. Which we certainly did not do.
Well, we had the scriptures on our side.
Yeah.
Well, for people like me who never had the Mormon experience, it appears that the whole church is a sham and it's just a business.
Yeah.
But it's full of fear.
Yeah, they've got a lot of attention on businesses right now, that's for sure. They've got, what, $200 billion set aside?
They got, on 60 Minutes.
It served its purpose centuries ago.
Well, that fund that you're talking about is for the second coming of the Christ. I had looked on it because there was an SEC report on it, just out of curiosity.
Have $220 billion liquid cash.
And they invest in coffee. I found that interesting.
Is Mormon coffee?
Well, that bothered me when I was in the church, when I used to pay tithing. I was thinking, it'd be nice if the tithing went to help people that was really in need. You know, but none of it went for that purpose. And you didn't know where it went. You just had to trust that the authorities were spending it wisely. And almost all the members had absolute trust. But now with the internet, with all the information that's out there, there's a lot more information that is available that used to be hidden. The church, the growth of the church has really slowed the past couple of years, largely because of all the YouTube videos that are surfacing from people that are saying things, that are revealing things that used to be hidden and not be revealed.
And money. Well, the whistleblower was an accountant for the church. And he saw all this money, $220 some billion, and he said the church isn't doing anything to help anybody with it. There are all these people in need, and all these countries in need, and they could. And he was asked, "Well, what are you doing?" No, they asked one of the leaders of the church, "Well, what are you doing with all this money?" "Well, you know, we've got to prepare for times ahead. We never know what's going to happen. Could be anything, any day."
Is that counseling?
That
you're talking about?
Yeah.
The CPA or whatever?
Yeah.
Is suing the church to get his tithing back?
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
$5 million of his tithing back. That's a lot of tithing.
But, you know, what about the take no thought of tomorrow? I mean, there are a lot of things they could have said. But there they are just sitting on this money when they could be giving all the members of the church a rebate.
Or at least not asking
for a rebate.
Only a tithing rebate.
Curtis and I felt that presence together when we dusted our feet off in the name of the Lord on these guys. And that's what says in the, not only in the Mormon scriptures, but also in the New Testament, tells you to do that if people reject a message of truth. We didn't know what was going to happen. It wasn't our responsibility as to what would happen. That was in the powers that be.